Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring today's episode. Do you struggle on a day-to-day basis with staying happy and finding the drive to achieve your goals? As someone who has struggled for years with anxiety and depression, I understand how much of a fight it can be every day. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp assesses your personal needs and matches you with one of their licensed professional therapists. You can start communicating within 48 hours of registration, and it's not a crisis line or self-help. It's real, professional therapy done from the comfort of your own space. BetterHelp has a network of 20,000-plus therapists that are available to clients worldwide. You can log in and send a message to your therapist at any time and get timely and thoughtful responses. And you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you'll never have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room again. Because let's be real, therapy is intimidating enough. It should be as comfortable as possible. BetterHelp is also committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so it's super easy to change therapists if you need to. BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional therapy, especially since financial aid is available, because BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. To get started on a path to a happier life, visit betterhelp.com/unitherapy. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. There's also a special offer for UniTherapy listeners. If you guys use the link betterhelp.com/unitherapy to register, you'll get 10% off your first month. Again, that's better, HELP.com/unitherapy. Start healing your mental health today. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. Welcome to UniTherapy, the Happy People podcast. Or in more realistic terms, the mental health podcast for young adults, where we talk about everything mental health related, and we have the conversations that no one wants to have because they're uncomfortable. So welcome to the community. I'm so glad you're here, and let's hop right in. Hi everyone, welcome back to You Need Therapy. Today I am really excited to introduce Emily Vasquez. She is a registered dietitian. I asked her to come on here and talk about intuitive eating and healing from disordered eating. So hi Emily, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm really looking forward to today's call.
Yeah. So before we get into the questions, would you like to tell everyone just a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name's Emily, and I'm a registered dietitian. And basically, my philosophy is to help women overcome chronic dieting through an intuitive eating framework to help them be free from food obsession, food anxiety, food fears, and really so they can get back to, you know, eating back and having a healthy relationship with food.
That's awesome. I think that, especially for this audience, that's a really important topic. And I think especially today with like diet culture and social media, that's a big thing that's going on, unfortunately, is all of that. On that topic of like social media, I just wanted to, this isn't on the thing that I just popped up, like trends on like TikTok of like the body checking and of like different diets. Like, what are your thoughts on all of those?
Oh yeah. Many thoughts about those. And I was actually just on my stories talking about this because I'm like, you know, I think it's, social media can be very great, but it can also be very toxic. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to all of these like full days of eatings, sharing like what you're eating a day, like how much you're eating, like your calories, your macros, I feel like it's worse than ever when it comes to the rise of disordered eating and these diet behaviors and how this is affecting everybody's mental health, because everybody's being so invested into like what everybody else is doing, what they're eating. And it's really taking away from what your body needs and like what your intuition is when you're always watching these videos. And I think too, like when it comes to like seeing somebody's body, like their body checking right before they're doing their what I eat in the day, it creates this like false perception of like, well, if you eat like me, you're gonna look like me. And we just know that's not necessarily true.
Right. Yeah. I hate it. Like I really have to stop myself from like falling down that rabbit hole of like scrolling through all these like accounts of like these girls that I'm wishing I looked like. And especially in high school, I did that a lot and had like the inspiration boards on like Pinterest of what I wanted to look like. I was like, that's not my body type, this like inspiration. So there's no way I could possibly even look like that. So I think so I love that you mentioned of even if some we're eating the same thing, doing the same workout, like we're not gonna look the same.
And you know, too, the thing is like I think a lot of these fitness influencers, wellness influencers, they're not sharing the full story, you know, like we have no idea like what their relationship with food's like, what their relationship with exercise is like. And I genuinely think that like if you're so invested in like what you're eating, how much you're exercising, what your body looks like you clearly have your own issues with food, and like that it's kind of like being projected to, I guess, your audience. And so I think it's really important to just be mindful about that and like what you're sharing on your platforms and like what kind of inspiration, I'm putting that in like air quotes, nobody can see me do that, but like that you are putting out into the world. And you know, honestly, just like really check in with yourself before you are exposing that to whoever's watching you.
Right. Yeah. I think, yeah, that's definitely, I think influencers or like, I think even big celebrities, like, cause there was the whole thing, I don't know if you saw this, but like the whole thing with the Met Gala and Kim Kardashian talking about her like 3-week weight loss. And I was like, there's so many young girls that like look up to her. And I was just, that was just, I didn't like that. I felt really like that made me feel bad about myself. And I was like, okay, geez.
Yeah. And honestly, I can say like, as a dietitian and just as somebody who has that history of like struggling with my own relationship with food and my body, I look at that now and I just feel, I feel sad. Like I don't feel jealous. I don't feel, I mean, I do feel angry, especially like because, you know, she shared that with the world, but it just makes me feel really sad for her and for other people, other women who feel like they need to go to such extremes and do that to their bodies, because you really shouldn't have to do something like that, especially to fit into a dress. And I just know that she was probably feeling miserable those past couple of weeks and probably even just the night of, because sounds really extreme what she did.
I know, that's what I was saying. I was like, there's no way you could have been enjoying those 3 weeks. Like that would just have stressed me out. And I feel like that's because like the Met Gala, that's already a stressful, I feel like, event you're going to anyway. You need to be relaxed and happy for that. Okay, so that little off the top of my head question is, we're gonna get into the actual questions now. So the first one is, to start off, can you first kind of tell us a little bit about what exactly disordered eating is and kind of where it stems from, where it comes from?
Yeah, definitely. So I basically like to describe disordered eating as a range of things, because there's not just like one definition of what it is. This may include restrictive eating, compulsive eating, binge eating, maybe even having a mix of both restrictive and binge patterns, having a lot of strict food rules, and maybe even fear certain foods. Really being like inflexible with your eating patterns. And truthfully, a lot of these just do stem from going on a diet or that diet culture mentality. And I really do think that because of our culture so influences this, you may even have grown up in a household that has an upbringing of like really being food or body focused, that I also think that it can stem from.
Okay. Yeah. I like that you mentioned the kind of just the household part of that. Cause like, I know growing up, it wasn't from like my direct household or like my own mom. It was from like my grandma who would kind of push that onto my mom. So then my mom was really good to turn around and not push on us, but we still had that from her. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is a little, cause like whenever she would come over, she'd like try to restrict what we were eating after our school snacks. And I was like, I'm in fourth grade. Like, why are we doing this? So yeah. Okay. Also, I had a question of, because you were very specific to, when we were discussing before this interview, you put it as disordered eating and not eating disorders. Can I ask why is that? There's a specific reason there?
Yeah. So I like to, you know, kind of separate the two, even though they can be very similar. A lot of people I know, especially who struggle with disorder eating behaviors, are not often given that diagnosis of, hey, you have anorexia, or hey, you have bulimia. And so I think that there is, you know, that classification that, you know, in the medical setting is needed, because there are people who do have very serious eating disorders that may be life-threatening. Right. However, I feel like the majority of the population struggles with disordered eating, eating disorders not otherwise specified, and kind of this like in between of like not full blown eating disorder, but really, you know, does affect somebody's physical and mental health, yet they're not getting that diagnosis. And so I think it's important to bring up just kind of disordered eating in general for those who may not feel like they're valid enough to have an eating disorder. Just know that like disordered eating is just as serious. And majority of the people I do think have some of these tendencies.
Okay, awesome. I was curious about that. So that's really interesting, because I've never thought about it in that sense.
Yeah.
So what made you want to get into this field of work?
Oh, yeah. So I honestly wanted to become a dietitian since high school, I believe. I struggled with my own relationship with food for many years of my young adult life. Ever since I was 14 years old, such a young age, I developed an eating disorder way back then, and struggled with that for many years up until college. And it was kind of this cycle of like getting better, and then like relapsing, getting better, then relapsing. And I struggled with that for so many years, to the point where I had like an eye-opening realization within college that, you know, this isn't working for me anymore. I can't, you know, spend the rest of my life constantly like losing weight, gaining weight, losing weight, gaining weight, and not really having this healthy relationship with food, because it's really just at this point taking over my life, and I'm not really living up to my fullest potential, because food and exercise in my body are all that I can think about. Mm-hmm. And so I, having gone through such a rocky relationship with food for so many years, and having seen the mental and physical ramifications of that, it made me really passionate about helping women not go down such a long road, rocky road with their relationship with food, and showing people how to approach a healthy lifestyle that isn't, you know, obsessive, that doesn't revolve counting calories or overexercising, really getting back to how you can have a healthy relationship with food through listening to your body, through intuitive eating, and finding something that is actually going to be sustainable long term.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the sustainable. I also like, thank you so much for sharing that you had personal struggles with this. That's great to hear. I think help people like remember they're not alone in what they're feeling and what they're going through. And I really liked your mention of creating a sustainable lifestyle, because I think that's so important. Because I think especially with the diet culture, it's like, do this for this amount of weeks and then, you know, you'll be, but like, what about after, you know, that certain amount of time, then what do, you know? And also I feel like diet culture, like so many of the like meal replacements are like, they're so gross. Like we've tried all like the healthy ice creams and like this, I'm like, these are nasty. Like, I don't want to eat these for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And honestly, I just feel like the world that we live in does make it so easy to have a lot of these disordered eating behaviors, mm-hmm. and kind of they normalize it to the point where it's like, a lot of people don't realize that they have issues with food until, you know, they see my account or they see other people's accounts of like, oh, like maybe this isn't normal. Right. Maybe it's not normal to fear food or like have my entire day revolved around food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So stemming from that, like what disordered eating is and that kind of specifics of it, what are some examples of like parts of eating disorders that people might not always recognize as disordered eating? Because you were saying like there's kind of like small things that people might not see as valid as like an eating disorder, but just like little things that we might, you know, have in our day to day that we don't even recognize as an unhealthy thing.
Great question. There's so many things. Having rules around the times that you're eating, saying that you have a food allergy or intolerance without actually it being legitimate. Like, I think sometimes two people use that as a way to avoid certain foods, like saying, oh, like, I can't eat that, but it's like, can you really? Or is it just a food rule that you created because you think something's bad? Right. Kind of having that good, bad food mindset, or, excuse me, I had to take some water. Yeah, definitely that good food versus bad food mindset, and kind of going into that, like, if you're always buying like these alternatives that are like lower calorie, like low cal ice cream, skinny syrups, like these protein chips, it's like not everything needs to be an alternative. Right. You know, weighing your food, measuring your food, not taking rest days, spending a long time thinking about food, or spending a long time at the grocery stores. So anything that kind of you feel like your entire day is revolved around food, or you have a hyperfixation on food in some way, I think are definitely red flags that your relationship with food may not be super healthy.
Okay. That's, I didn't even think of most of those. So that's great. Yeah. I think I had heard somewhere, I think it was from kind of an account that was similar to yours, about, it was like little, it was talking about those little things, and it was like, when you're feeling hungry, but you don't want to like eat until your next meal, so you would just chew gum to like hold you over. Because I used to do that all the time in high school. And even up until the past year, and I got onto the kind of excessive like calorie counting train. And I was like, because I was measuring out all my foods and I was like writing everything down and adding it up. And I had a really, like, I was only allowing myself, I think it was like 1200 calories a day. And I was going to bed starving, and I was like, but I had already, you know, reached my number. So I was like, I'll just go to sleep and I'll be fine. And then it was like a couple weeks later, it had actually like really started to hit me, and I'd woke up, I felt horrible. And my mom was like, I know you were trying, like, you think this is being healthy. She's like, but you're not, like, this isn't, you don't feel good, and this is like reacting to your body. So but then I would continue on like social media, like to see about like, oh, like count your calories, count da, 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 all this. And I was like, I don't think that's as healthy as people are making it out to be.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that. I honestly feel like people think that being healthy means low calorie. Like, low calorie is the only way to be healthy. Or, you know, honestly, 1200 calories a day is what a toddler needs. And no doubt that you felt hungry eating that amount, because that's like half of, you know, what most women need in a day. And not that I advocate for counting calories, but I do think that if you are aware that you are eating that amount of calories, you're definitely not eating enough.
Yeah, it definitely was not enough.
No.
At all. And it wasn't even of like calorie counting of like normal foods. It was like all alternatives on top of that.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, I'm not even enjoying my meals at this point. Like,
no. And I mean, question for you, do you feel like you were super food focused because you were not eating enough?
I mean, that probably had to do with it. Yeah. Cause that's all I was focusing on at that point. It was like, I'm so hungry, but I can't eat. And on top of that, this was kind of during, I think, quarantine. So, which I feel like a lot of people probably struggled during then, because, like, you had nothing else to do. You were sitting, like, we had the kind of that period of no one was doing anything. So it was kind of, like, after that, you know, probably first couple months of, like, I just got really focused on that, because I, A, had nothing else to do. B, I think I had started gaining weight from the quarantine, and, like, I just had gotten super focused. I was, like, working out for, like, an hour twice a day, like, going way too hard, when I already struggle with like really low blood pressure anyway. And so like that was on top of it. And it was just like, that was all that was, I didn't have anything else going on also. So I think that was cause, so I was like, I have something to focus on, but then that was all I was focusing on.
Yeah.
And it just,
Not good. No, definitely not.
All right. Yeah. So what, when you kind of either get diagnosed with an eating disorder, or you realize that you have some type of disordered eating, what are kind of the first steps to take to start that healing process?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question too, because I feel like one of the first steps is to recognize that there is a problem, because there's many stages when it comes to, you know, actually like healing your relationship with food or actually wanting to commit to recovering. Mm-hmm. But if you don't feel like you have an issue, then you're going to be battling with like, do I really need to get better? Do I actually need to get better? Like, is it okay if I keep some of these things, or do I actually need to, you know, actually go into a recovery process? Mm-hmm. But yeah, recognizing that there is a problem to begin with. And because a lot of people don't actually recognize that they have a problem, and they don't get to that point of like seeing it until they start to see how it actually affects their lives. And this is what happened to me. Like, I waited to a point where I had to wait until there was physical and mental problems that came up for me to say, hey, like, I actually need to do this. So unless you don't recognize that there's an issue, then you're probably not going to want to recover or get better. And then I would like to always ask people, like, what are your values in life? Can you ask yourself, like, what matters the most to me in my lifetime? And, you know, for example, if you value like closeness with people, if you value being a genuine person, does your relationship with food and exercise in your body reflect that? Or does it take away from things that you truly value in life? Because I know when you are so fixated on food, like what you're eating, how much you're exercising, what your body looks like, a lot of people tend to forget who they are as a person because they're so wrapped up into this new like wellness space that they forget, like, oh, I actually used to like, you know, journaling, or I used to like writing, or I used to like reading. All of my time and attention is now directed to those things. Mm-hmm. So really asking yourself, if you're not living the life that makes you genuinely happy and fulfilled, then it's definitely time to make a change.
Yeah, I like that you're focusing it on like values, on what you like to do, on focusing on things that aren't necessarily like food and related to kind of help. I feel like the mindset is a really important part of mm-hmm. of healing. And then kind of on that same topic, what are gonna be some of the top like common struggles that you're going to run into during the healing process? Because I'm going to assume it's not like a linear, easy, straightforward process.
No, definitely. There's a lot of people that fear the unknown of what's going to happen if they were to change their habits and their lifestyle. Because many people get into dieting and, you know, these behaviors because they're doing it for weight control reasons. Right. Typically, people don't go on diets because they want to have fun. Like, they don't right. do it because it sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
It's usually because you have an issue with you mm-hmm. in some way. You don't like your body. You feel like you're unhealthy. You want to make that kind of change. And these types of behaviors that you develop during that process results in things that can become very obsessive. So you may fear that you're going to regain weight or just gain weight in general. I know when people think about intuitive eating, they think it's like this free for all with food that, you know, if unless you're having these diet rules, you're just binging all day, or you're just not caring about your health, which is definitely not true at all. Like, intuitive eating is very health promoting. And so we need to kind of separate what actually intuitive eating is and just recognize that you can, you know, still approach being a healthy person through intuitive eating without all of these extremes that maybe you've developed through dieting. So definitely that fear of weight gain, that fear of losing control around food, fear of becoming unhealthy are usually the top ones that I see.
Okay. And then on that topic, I see, as much as I've seen negative on social media, specifically on TikTok, I've seen a lot of positive of people who are recovering, and they like videotape like eating their like fear foods and take everyone on that. Can you like kind of explain like the fear food thing and kind of what that is?
So like what a fear food is?
Yeah.
Yeah. A fear food essentially is a food that somebody has developed a negative relationship with. Mm-hmm. Typically, these fears are what that food is going to do to them if they were to eat it. So mm-hmm. a lot of people fear things like sugar or carbs, mm-hmm. or I've had people fear fats, things that maybe you try to avoid because you think it's going to do something to your health, to your body, or maybe you fear that you are going to lose control if you were to eat it. And I see this a lot with people who struggle with the binge eating patterns of, if I allow myself one cookie, I'm going to eat 10 more. Mm-hmm. So you just avoid it entirely.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And I love that I've seen that on so much on TikTok, of these people, like, they're healing, I feel like, with everyone. And it's again that, like, because I feel like it is, like you were saying, like, there's a lot of people who go through disordered eating without even knowing it. And so I feel like that there's a community and where they're, you know, starting to work through it together, I think is really positive. And I've also seen a lot of really positive, like, influencers as well who, you know, talk about intuitive eating. And that's, I think that's gaining a lot of popularity, positively, which I think is great to see that positive side of social media. Yeah. So now that we've kind of gone through that, can you explain what intuitive eating is and how it can heal your relationship with food?
Definitely. Intuitive eating is a non-diet approach to eating that brings you more awareness and more in tune with your own body's signals. And so many people think that it is a hunger fullness diet of eat when you're hungry and stop when you're full, but that's not necessarily the case, even though that is a huge part of intuitive eating, is being able to understand those cues. We also need to bring some of that body wisdom back in and rebuild trust with your body during this process, because there's going to be times in your life where, you know, your physical hunger cues may not be 100% reliable. And so we need to, you know, kind of assess, like, what does my body need today? And I like to use this process too of having clients learn their body, because, you know, it's kind of like a lifelong journey. You know, intuitive eating is not going to be the same every day. And with that is kind of something that brings a lot of people fear too, of like the inconsistency with it, because, you know, what you eat one week, it's not going to be the same as next week. And so it's really, you know, being able to tune into your body's cues, but also recognizing that your body does need food on a daily basis. And so just because you're not hungry doesn't mean that it's not time to eat.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead. And I was going to answer, I forgot you had a second question next. I like to ramble a little bit.
No, you're good.
And so how this can contribute to a healthy relationship with food is that it does take away a lot of that rigidity that dieting does bring, and it allows you to eat more freely. And so, you know, you don't have like certain meal times. You don't have like these rules around like portion sizes. It's really just tuning into what your body needs in that moment and being able to pick and choose and have more spontaneity with food again.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I think that's like, I think that's definitely something I struggled with, especially after like the calorie counting thing, was that it was, because I think with the calorie counting, I was eating because I knew I had to eat at these meals and I had a certain amount I was going to eat, and then I wouldn't eat anything else until like the next thing. So I was like, I'm not eating necessarily when I'm hungry, but then when I am hungry, I wasn't eating. I was just eating when I thought it was like supposed to be, you know, if that makes sense. But I also, how much is of this, I also wonder, is like of this disordered eating of like, 'cause you mentioned the eat when you're hungry and eat until you're full. I feel like how much of it is like a generational thing? Because I know like my mom always talks about how like her parents and her family and all of her siblings, her parents were like, you're going to clean off your plate. And then so she talks about how she had a really negative relationship with food because she was full but still had to continue eating. So is that like that kind of general? Because I feel like her generation probably had a lot of that same thing, because like my dad talks about how his family was the same thing, and so how much of that is kind of like that passed down to, and how much of that can kind of turn into then disordered eating because you're, you know, getting forced to eat even if you're not hungry anymore.
That's a really good point that you bring up, because I do have to, you know, recognize and bring that awareness that intuitive eating definitely is something that is privileged. And I think it's not talked about enough, because there are many families, even to this day, that have, you know, food scarcity, where, you know, if you're not going to be able to eat for a while, you better be sure that you're cleaning your plate, because yeah. food's not going to be there. Right. We don't know when the next meal is going to come in. And I do think that is very generational, because we do live in very different times. Mm-hmm. And I do see how that can affect your relationship with food growing up, thinking that you have to clean the plate every single time. Mm-hmm. No, and I do think it's important to recognize that intuitive eating can look different for every person, right. based off, you know, food availability, food scarcity, and what you have access to, like what kind of foods you have access to. But I do think that intuitive eating can work in the sense that you are still rejecting that diet mentality of needing to control your weight through food and exercise. And I think there is, you know, some flexibility that can be brought in of like still being able to pick some foods that are going to work best for your body, like still being able to bring that body wisdom back in of like, okay, so let's say food is scarce and I'm not going to be able to eat for the next 6 hours. Can I make sure that I'm eating enough now to best support my body? And I think that is kind of what we talk about within intuitive eating, of being able to use that body wisdom to make informed choices of what you're eating now, based off like what the rest of the day can look like.
Okay, yeah, that I like that point, because like I think also it's I'm assuming it's gonna look different for everyone based off of like your how much physical activity that you're getting, because like, you know, I'm assuming athletes who are like all day, you know, like swimming or outside and sports, like all that stuff, like are gonna, you know, have a higher eat a lot more or eat, you know, in one meal than maybe. So I think that's a good point, and I like that.
Yeah.
So then what exactly, because I feel like not enough people know, because like I'm not even sure if I necessarily know this, what does a healthy relationship with food look like?
Another great question. you know, I think in a general sense, being able to be flexible around food, you know, food should not be the center of your day. And food should also not bring you anxiety. It should not bring you fear. It should not bring you guilt or stress. Mm-hmm. And if you are able to approach food in a way that is going to honor both your mental and physical health without it revolving, or I guess your life revolving around it, then I would say that you probably have a healthy relationship with food. And if you're not starving yourself, not doing all these fad diets, not trying to compensate what you're eating through food or through exercise, I think also do contribute to having a healthy relationship with food.
Okay. Yeah, I like that you brought in the exercise point, because again, I think that's, I know that's a lot of people like, oh, well, I ate like really bad yesterday, I'm going to burn it off today.
Yeah. That's a mindset I really, truly hate, because it's like,
yeah.
It's not, you know, you're still deserving of food even if you're not exercising. And it's definitely not a mindset that I like to hear.
Yeah, no, but I'm glad that you, especially that last phrase of you're still deserving the food if you're not exercising. I think that's so important, because I think a lot of people don't realize that especially when you're stuck in like the fad diets, when you're stuck in this, because I think while physical activity is important, like you said, it shouldn't revolve around food, it shouldn't revolve around exercise. And then earlier you mentioned something about like not giving yourself rest days. Mm-hmm. Because I think, especially when I, again, in that calorie deficit mindset that I was in, I was not giving myself rest days. It was 7 days a week. I was, like, working out as hard as I possibly could, not realizing that, like, to have, like, a healthy body, your body does need to rest and, like, rebuild the muscles and everything.
Definitely. And, yeah, that's something I definitely learned through my studies as a dietitian, of just really understanding our bodies as a whole and recognizing that you can't just pour it out of an empty cup. You know, you have to refill that cup, and you have to take your rest days, recovery days, because we're not like robots that can just function like the same every single day.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So this one is very specific. So I know that like a lot of disordered eating can kind of stem from like body changes of like weight gain, or like, you know, if you were within quarantine, everyone went through that. And I feel like, you know, there was a lot of body changes in that. And then specifically for women through things like puberty and pregnancy and labor, or like PCOS or other, you know, issues like that, what are some ways to handle those body changes that we can't necessarily control?
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that body changes are really difficult. Mm-hmm. And each and every year, whether you want it to happen or not, your body is changing. You know, change mm-hmm. within your body is going to be inevitable as you grow and, you know, grow older. And I think just understanding and bringing that awareness that bodies are not supposed to look the same for the rest of your life. Like, bodies are supposed to change. No matter, I understand too, like, if you're going through puberty or pregnancy or any kind of health condition, that your body may change at a more rapid pace based off whatever it is that you're going through. And I know that change can be really hard to accept, mm-hmm. but I think it's important to bring it back to understanding that your body's not a bad body for changing. Mm-hmm. It's just changing. And you need to ask yourself, where did I get this idea that my body is wrong for looking the way that it does as it's going through this change? Mm-hmm. Like, who told me that my body is a bad body for changing? Because, you know, it's before diet culture existed, like, bodies just changed, and women are like, maybe, I mean, obviously I don't know back then, but like, I don't think it was brought as like, as recognized as a bad thing for weight gain to happen as it is today with such a diet influence that we have. Mm-hmm. But I do like people to recognize what your body can do for you mm-hmm. instead of what it looks like, because we're not put on this earth to look good for other people. You know, we're put on this earth for so much. And if you can recognize all that your body does for you, and even just qualities to yourself that you like that are non-physical related, I think can help during those body changes.
That's so inspirational. I loved that answer. Because I know I, like, go through, because, like, especially on birth control, and I'm struggling with, like, some PCOS or, like, endometriitis, like, diagnoses right now. So, like, that's a lot of things I've been struggling with. And also, like, my body type, I've always been a, like, broader shoulders and, like, a wider rib cage and just, like, curvier in general just from genetics. And so, like, growing up was, like, when all my friends are, like, super skinny and, like, really small, and I didn't look like that. And I was, like, they look different, but like my body's changing differently. And like, I went through puberty and like period, like all that. So like, I was developing way faster. So in fifth grade, I was like comparing myself to all my friends, because like they're way tinier than me. Like, I don't look similar, but that's all normal. Like, you can't control that. That's your body.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I really do get into like set point weight in my program, because I think it's really important to understand too that, like, yes, everybody does kind of have their natural set point weight in which their bodies feel their best, like most comfortable. You know, this is kind of a weight range that your body can maintain without you dieting. Mm-hmm. However, we also need to recognize that set point weight can change as you grow older too. Right. And that also is not a constant.
Right.
But yeah.
I love that. I feel like a good, like, kind of point to focus on is that, like, nothing in your body's ever gonna necessarily stay constant or stay the same.
No.
I love that. Such good things to remember. Now, I know you're specialized in disordered eating with women and helping women heal their relationships with food. But, like, what, I feel like it's not talked about a lot, but, like, what does disordered eating look like in men compared to women? Because I feel like, I mean, men go through disordered eating as well, I'm assuming.
No, that's a great point, because you're right, it's not talked about enough. And I do think that is also an issue, because unfortunately, I think many men who struggle with their relationship with food and their body, it's more socially acceptable. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of men, you know, you see it too with like, having these like washboard abs and needing mm-hmm. to look a certain way as a man. And I do think that a lot of men can also struggle with that, you know, issues with food, honestly, in very similar ways that women do, of like restricting, binging on foods, really being hyper fixated on their bodies and having to, you know, eat all this protein or look like a, mm-hmm. or go to the gym, you know, obsessively. Right. So I do think a lot of the issues can kind of compound and look very similar to what women struggle with, just in a different sense of like needing to look big or needing to look muscular in order to look quote unquote masculine.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Cause I noticed that was like on, especially in the summer on TikTok specifically, I'd see a bunch of like, videos of these guys like going, they're talking about like they're like bulking periods and then like cutting, and I'm like, well, that is that healthier? Mm-hmm. So is that like the kind of like their the bulks and the cuts, could those be like described as disordered eating? Or
I would say that it really depends on the individual, and I'm always going to say that because I'm a dietitian who really likes to look at both sides, and I like to kind of look at the gray area of like, I understand that some people can do all these things like and never struggle with a bad relationship with food. Maybe they can just stop any time. But there's also people, and I would say majority of people who do these things, it does take a toll on after a while. Mm-hmm. Even if you're just trying to like change your body just a little bit, it's like it really just goes back to, can you do this and also have a healthy relationship with food? And if not, really be honest with yourself and ask yourself what needs to change in order for you to have a healthy relationship with food.
Gotcha. All right. That was a great answer. I love that. I feel like that's everything. It's like it depends on the person, really. Definitely. All right. Well, we're slowly coming to the end of this. So I have one last thing that I wanted to ask. So we've discussed a lot today. Imparted so much wisdom, and I'm so thankful for you coming on here. This is really, because I want to, with this podcast, reach out to topics that people don't necessarily want to talk about or that are necessarily easy, but I obviously don't have all of the knowledge of all of the things. So I really thank you so much for coming on here and discussing this. This is such an important topic that I want people to know they're not alone in.
Yeah, no, I always appreciate, like, you know, podcasts and being able to talk about these things, because I do think that they are important.
Yeah, I love that. And thank you for you know, doing what you're doing and helping heal these relationships. That's amazing. Yeah. So, again, we've discussed a lot. Out of everything, what's the biggest thing that you'd really like the listeners to take away? If there was just one thing, one big thing that they could take away from the discussion, what would you want that to be?
Yeah, I mean, even just given everything that we've talked about today, and just as a general overall recap, I definitely want people to recognize that dieting, disordered eating, restricting yourself will not bring you that long-term happiness and fulfillment that you want in life, even though you may get this short-term gratification and you may feel like it is the only way that you have control in your life is to lose weight or control your body. However, it's not going to bring you that long-term fulfillment. So, you know, everybody deserves to have a healthy relationship with food and their body and with exercise. And if you're not happy right now, this is your sign to make a change. And, you know, never hesitate to reach out to a dietitian such as myself to help you, because it truly is worth it. I mean, as somebody who struggled with this growing up, it's like, you're not going to get those years back. You know, time is something of the essence and you just don't get it back. And so if you're not happy right now, you know, you have any point in your life, you can make that change.
That's awesome. Thank you. That was a great, great note to end on. Again, thank you so, so much for agreeing and taking time out of your very busy schedule to be here. I really appreciate it. I will be linking your Instagram in the description of today's episode. So for anyone who wants to reach out, please do. I think your Instagram is just great. I've scrolled through it multiple times now, and you just have such a positive, like, community that you've created. Yeah. And I think that's really, really beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, thanks. It's, I love it. It's like something that you don't know how you got there, but you just love like, I love my work. I love my job. And it's just, it brings me joy every single day.
Oh, that's, I love, and especially for a job like that, you don't dread going into work every day. I love that you love what you do. That's so important.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much again.
yeah, I will be linking all your information down below. Yeah, thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too.
Thank you. Alrighty, so that was Emily Vasquez on intuitive eating and healing from disordered eating. Please go check out her Instagram, you guys. I'm going to link it in the description down below. Please go check out her Instagram. If you feel that you need any help, feel free to reach out to her. And also just go give her some love for coming onto the podcast today and discussing such an important topic that, oh my goodness, I feel that we all really needed everything that she said today and all of her reminders and all of her love. She's so positive. I'm so glad that she agreed, that I reached out to her and she agreed to come on. I was so excited. But seriously, yeah, go show her all the love on Instagram. And yeah, I hope you guys took away something from that discussion today. I hope that you were reminded that you deserve to eat regardless of anything, regardless of how much you've exercised, regardless of how much you may or may not have eaten today, whatever, you deserve to eat. You deserve the fuel in your body. You deserve to be happy and not starving yourself. And yeah, you guys, you deserve all the love, all the positivity, all the things. I really hope that you enjoyed that discussion as much as I did. I really loved having her on. That was so fun. Such a sweet person. So Emily, if you're listening to this at the end, thank you so much for coming on. I can't thank you enough. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. If you haven't been told yet today, I love you so much and I am so proud of you for continuing to survive every day and push forward and just be you. I'm so proud of you all. I love you so, 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 so much. I hope you are having a wonderful week. It's Monday when we're recording this. This episode will be up on Wednesday, though, like they always are. But yeah, I hope you all have had a good week so far. I hope you've had a good morning, a good evening, a good afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. I love you all so much. I am so proud of you all. And remember that you matter so much. You are so vital in this world. And if you are hungry, eat. And if you're tired, sleep. If you're thirsty, drink. Listen to your body. I feel like that was a point to remember today, is to listen to what your body needs. So go forward on your day now and listen to what your body needs and love yourself and love others. Be kind to everyone. Be kind to yourself. And yeah, I will stop rambling. I love you all so much and I will talk to you next week.